case number 08-5490, Judicial Watch, Inc., Appellant versus Department of Commerce, et al. Mr. Peterson for Appellant, Ms. Wright for Appellees.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. James Peterson on behalf of plaintiff, with me, on behalf of plaintiff is Paul Orfanides. This case before us raises an important question of whether a complaint brought under the Federal Advisory Committee Act, or FACA, can be dismissed for lack of standing despite detailed factual allegations of the injury caused by defendants. Plaintiff's complaint alleges that several committees created by defendants fall within the definition of an advisory committee under FACA. This case is important not just because of the subject matter of the complaint, but because if upheld, the district court's ruling will create a gaping loophole for an agency to evade the strictures of FACA and the purposes behind the statute. I set forth in our brief.
You still got a cause of action problem, even if you can get over your standing problem. You're assuming it's a given. If I can get over standing, you know, then we can get to the things I really want to get to. But it seems to me you've got a huge problem with the cause of action in light of the established law. And there certainly is law that supports your notion that there's standing in this context. But there's not a lot of law that's supporting your notion that there's a cause of action in this context.
Well, of course.
I don't know what I do with, if I agree with you on standing, do we decide the cause of action question now?
No, we've asked, of course, that the case be remanded because the merits of the case are not yet before this court. And of course, as Your Honor knows, the standing issue must be resolved first, and that our obligation is, as a complainant, is to state only a, quote, plausible scenario under which relief can be granted. And in our view, we have plainly done that, as there is an injury that is more than fairly traceable to defendants, there is redressability, and there is no doubt, and it is undisputed, that there was an informational injury that was caused by defendants for purposes of standing. Well, of course, we don't. That's always a possibility, but we do not think so. In this case, as set forth in our detailed, well pleaded allegations, the defendants created and participated in a committee designed for the sole purpose of providing advice and recommendations to the agency. The facts are undisputed largely, or we expect the facts to be largely undisputed in this regard, because most significantly, we cited the defendant's own press release, where they not only they take credit for having launched the North American Competitiveness Council and its U.S. component subgroups. So the facts are we believe, well,
on the cause of action side, I don't know where that gets you. They can take credit in a press release, but that doesn't mean that they utilize under the terms of FACA. I mean, I have a lot of trouble in charting that in my head and seeing how you can possibly show a cause of action under FACA.
Under FACA, as you know, of course, Judge Edwards, the statute states that a committee is bound by the strictures of FACA if it is established or utilized by the agency. And in this case, the facts are quite clear, we believe.
All they did was to establish the Council of America and the Chamber of Commerce in those positions.
Well, they established
consultant arrangements. So now what?
They established it. They participated, and they institutionalized it right. So that they could continue to receive on a regular basis recommendations from this.
Well, wait, not from the count, not from the Secretariat. They're not giving any recommendations, are they?
Well, the Secretariat, of course, the hand-picked business representatives of business, which the agency selected, is the filter through which these recommendations come, of course.
They make the determination alone. It's theirs alone to make with respect to the executive committee and et cetera.
They make
It's not through the department. The department, it's like in Public Citizen, it's like in the other case, they're just consulting arrangements. The government has picked someone to do some work, and now they're out of it. Maybe enough to get you past standing, but I don't know how you have an action here any more than you had one in Public Citizen.
Well, with respect, Public Citizen was not ours, but the...
Oh, I don't mean you personally.
Of course, this case, we believe, is different because in this case, it's not the agency did not just turn it over. They created it. There is no doubt. They appointed the Secretariat, which is a representative of large businesses, knowing full well where the membership of the committee would come from. Now, can they walk away and say, okay, we created this, but no, we're covering our eyes to anything that's happening afterwards.
Well, and Byrd as well, right?
Well, Byrd is different, of course, because it's at least one level removed in the sense that in that case, the agency hired a government contractor, and then the government contractor went out and got it.
That's what this looks like.
But in this case, it was created. It was created
well,
by the agency.
The government contractor too. I mean, you create that relationship. The department has to start it. If they don't get the government contractor, nothing happens. So that's true. We understand that.
But in this case,
once it's done, it seems to me, then we're saying in that context, it's done, and the government contractor is now the person responsible or the group responsible.
The connection is a lot closer in this case.
Why?
Because in here we have the North American Competitive Council. There are 15 identified companies. The list was attached to the complaint. The agency.
Which group are you talking about now? You got the Council of Americas and the Chambers. They're my contractors. Now, where's your connection now?
The North American Competitive Council, the U.S. component, first consists of 15 large U.S. corporations.
Picked by whom?
Picked by
Secretariat.
They were all part of the creation at the time.
They were picked by the Secretariat, right?
Yes,
that's why. I mean, I may be totally wrong, but my understanding is the department picks the Secretariat. Then the Secretariat does the rest. They were the ones picking the 15, the executive committee. And from there, it's all about interacting with this international agency, this international consortium.
FACA, of course, is designed. The purpose behind FACA is to shed light upon the recommendations received from special interests, companies with an agenda that are advising government agencies. Now, if a government agency can say to a large business group, here, we want recommendations on what your members think about certain issues, but you know you take care of that, and we'll set it up, but then we'll just kind of walk away from what we've created. In our view, that's entirely inconsistent.
Well, I'm understanding. I'll make sure we're looking at the same picture. That's not what's going on. These are folks who are now being asked to be involved with the NACC, and then the U.S. of course. Government, along with the two other governments, benefits from those actions, but it's not like a group's being set up to come back to the department that set up the filter. The group's being set up, the secretary is being set up to get participants for the NACC, and then they work in this international arena.
No, as we have plainly alleged, and the facts support, the NACC meets regularly, is scheduled to meet regularly with the Secretary of Commerce at a minimum a couple of times a year, and beyond that on a working group level more frequently. It comes back to the agency.
That's the international group. That's the group that has two other countries involved. Right?
Now, the U.S. component, which is meets regularly with the Secretary of Commerce it comes back. The agency created it, and it is set up for the sole purpose of, and no other, to come back to the agency and provide recommendations. It happens at different levels.
Which agency?
To defendant, the Department of Commerce and the Secretary of Commerce.
The recommendations that are ultimately coming out of all of this are coming from this international group. Those are the recommendations that come out of all of this, right?
Well, that's some of the recommendations. There are also U.S. components that provide. There's the Executive Committee and the Advisory Committee, as we've alleged, that report. That provide recommendations on a regularized basis to the Secretary of Commerce concerning U.S. issues.
Or with respect to other issues?
No, concerning U.S. issues related in the U.S. relating to those companies. That's how it has been alleged. The other countries were involved at the formation. They're on the side. They have their own that also provide recommendations relating to their country's specific concerns. But for our purposes here and for the purposes of FACA, we have plainly alleged that the U.S. components, the Executive Committee and Advisory Committee, meet on a regular basis with the Secretary of Commerce. That's the
just recommend to Commerce so that Commerce can say, okay, I've viewed all this, now this is what U.S.'s position is going to be, which I'm going to push at NAC.
We have not, we have certainly not alleged anything to that effect, and I don't know the answer to that. But for the purposes of FACA, in terms of advice and recommendations received by an agency, there is no doubt, as we have pled, that the defendants receive this advice.
So you're
okay. Go ahead. Does your complaint stop at the American component? I thought you also wanted to attend the meetings of NAC and get their work.
Well, the North American Advisory Committee, the U.S. consists of the Executive Committee is the 15-member is the U.S. component of the NACC, yes. And underneath that is the advisory committee, which is a larger.
You'd be happy thing. To get it all, but your best case, as best I can understand it, on the cause of action piece, is that apart from this executive committee, and if I had to concede it, Your Honor, I would say we're a little bit shaky there because that's difficult. But we think there are subgroups that flow from this, and their responsibility is to interact with the Department of Commerce. And that's what they principally do, and that's clearly fact. That's your argument?
That's part of our argument, absolutely. But we also think that at the upper level also falls within.
I don't know how you get there. I mean, if you're talking about a group that's created by someone independent from the department, and their purpose is to exist to go into an international arena and operate there, and that group comes out with its recommendations. Secretary may or may not know about these things, but that's why they're created. I don't know how that's within FACA. I haven't the faintest idea how you get that within FACA, and nothing you've said so far explains that to me.
In this case, the Secretary of Commerce, over a period of months, met with different business representatives, met with a variety of different entities, and set up the entire framework for the North American Competitiveness Council, and ultimately had a meeting where the Secretary of Commerce took credit for launching the North American Competitiveness Council. He was present at the creation.
I don't know what that launching argument gets you. The Secretariat was created to put the Executive Committee together to go participate in NACA, and they come up with their own recommendations. So, I mean, that's very different from your subcommittee. Or there are these other offshoot groups, and they work directly with the Secretary. And maybe if we agreed with you on standing, maybe that has to be sorted out. But it seems to me there are two entirely different arguments.
They're at a different level. I'll agree that there's a difference. But again, we have alleged that that the secretary created both the executive, the NACC, as well as the lower body, as low as the subcomponents, as you put it. That's correct. The key point here, however, is that the agency cannot walk away. This is different. This is different than Byrd, in that it was not all delegated away. Now, the secretary is responsible for administrative tasks, arguably, but the agency still set this up for the specific purpose of receiving these types of recommendations from these groups, and that brings it within the plain language of the statute. I'll save as much time as I have remainder for a brief rebuttal. Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court, Abby Wright, representing the Department of Commerce, and Gary Locke, Secretary of Commerce.
Before you go too far, the district court ruled solely on standing.
That's correct, issue. Your Honor.
Right. Now, is that ruling defensible?
I think the district court was right. I would like to note at the outset that this court can reach the FACA question. If we put FACA aside for a moment and we just focus on what plaintiff has asked the Department of Commerce to do, that's to go out and get records and documents from an international organization and to secure access to those meetings.
Also to turn over a document that was delivered to the secretary.
We process.
That doesn't require going out to the outer world, although sometimes government officials are ordered to go out into the outer world.
We processed plaintiff's FOIA request and released all responsive documents. So all documents that were in the Department of Commerce's possession have actually been provided to the plaintiff. So what remains are these documents and records that are not in the possession of the Department of Commerce, that may be in the possession of foreign businesses or foreign governments. The records of the NAC are not in the Department of Commerce's possession. So the injuries that plaintiff has alleged are these informational injuries.
Let's assume they've gotten all they could have gotten, although if there are meetings that are closed that have happened in which the secretary participated, FOIA wouldn't cover a newly created record of that meeting, would it?
No, I mean, FOIA would cover...
It only covers an extant record, right?
I think that, I mean, are you suggesting that the secretary might have taken his own notes at the meetings, or?
Well, it was there. I mean, people who are at a meeting sometimes have some recollection of what happened.
I know that we've...
And usually secretaries in this world travel with a horde of assistants who may have memories, too.
I don't want to stick on standing too much, because I think that Judge Edwards was completely correct in his description of Byrd. This is not a federal advisory committee, but in terms of the standing,
the ruling was on standing. Right.
The ruling was on standing. And I think there's no ability to redress the injury that plaintiffs have stated, which is that they've not been able to attend these meetings and they've not been able to...
That just isn't so.
It isn't so. And I don't know how you can get there if you read Public Citizen and Byrd. And the court does not have... You can't make the argument, well, they didn't really consider it. They have to consider it. We must consider all parts of standing if we find standing.
And certainly in Byrd, this court did address the standing issue, and I think...
Well, in Public Citizen, the Supreme Court did as well. They had to.
That's
true.
They
could not do it. So if you have it in those two cases, if you have standing in those two cases, you've got to have standing in this case.
Well, I think Byrd is distinguishable because there was, and some other cases, there was a look to the future of what the agency might do with the recommendation. I think we have nothing in this complaint at all addressing what the agency might do in the future with any of these recommendations. And so Byrd, this court talked about ammunition for a future attack. And there's nothing in this complaint that suggests that they want a declaration in order to go forward.
As I understand, the allegations are of a creation of a continuing relationship, and surely the going forward putting aside the whole question of creating records of what happened at past meetings, the secretary can adjust his conduct with relationship to this group of people.
Well, I think there's nothing...
You don't want to rest on that, because counsel, Judicial Watch will tell you, trust us, we'll find ammunition in whatever you do.
No, I'm right? maybe giving advice for
yeah,
a future
right.
complaint.
So that argument's not going to get you anywhere.
But I think that in the complaint, there are not sufficient allegations for the inference that that's within the Department of Commerce's power to do. This is an international...
It's within its power not to deal with these people, right?
Well, they've not asked for...
Yes, they did. I checked. They did ask for that. Yeah.
And they could cancel the secretariat.
I don't think they're in a position to disband the NAC.
Sure they are. They created them. They can take them away. They could say, go away. It doesn't exist anymore.
They could remove the U.S. Chamber of Commerce as the secretariat?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there's... I don't know that there's complaints.
That seems so self-evident. There's nothing really much to discuss. Of course they could remove them, just end it. This is on behalf of the United States eventually, just like the contractors in the other case and the ABA and Public Citizen. Like, so we changed our mind. You're about nothing. We don't care what you have to say. That's why this argument about redress just doesn't work, because the courts in both those cases understood it was, if not explicit, implicit, it had to be there.
Well, I think if this court disagrees with the district court, I would urge this court to reach the failure to state a claim and the Federal Advisory Committee issue. And I think Judge Edwards is right on the money with Bird v. EPA and Food Chemical News that...
The way this came up is we have a ruling by a district judge. We have an attack on that ruling in the opening brief. Then a response, which is almost entirely directed to other things, a responsive brief. So what you're saying is that the court should resolve the merits issue on the basis of, and I know that technically this is possible, on a matter in which actually the government is taking the position of de facto appellant, that is to say, the party that introduces the issues and sets it off for the first time.
Well, I think the causation and addressability issue, as the district court framed it, is very close to the question of established or utilized, just as a practical matter. The strict management or control, what do we actually have the ability to do?
The problem is for us, I think, we don't really know. The line of questions that I was giving your opposing counsel on precisely what they're asking for and how this all operates, whether there are subcommittees and to whom do they report, and at least I am not comfortable with what I'm seeing in the record. Those all go to the cause of action question, it seems to me. And I just don't completely get one side of it, on which I think your argument appears to be fairly strong. I don't completely understand the other side of it, where their argument might be very compelling. And I don't know how we could address it on this record.
Well, I mean, this court, in terms of the Federal Advisory Committee question, I think that this court can look at the complaint and see whether there's been a failure to state a claim. And I think there are not sufficient allegations. One thing I wanted to note was that there's an allegation that the Secretary of Commerce meets with the U.S. component subgroup, but there's no allegation that there are recommendations from that subgroup to the Secretary of Commerce. The recommendations that we have discussed in the complaint are the NACS recommendations, like Your Honor said, that go to the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America, a collaborative agreement between the three countries. And so I think
you're saying they have not alleged in their complaint anything about subgroups with whom the Secretary interacts.
Well, they've said that the Secretary meets periodically, but that's not sufficient. With the U.S. component, I think is what they, when they say subgroup. But in terms of the way the recommendations are structured, the complaint says that the recommendations are made, there was this report in February 2007 that was made to the SPP. It discusses the advisory committee providing a broader perspective to the executive committee, the advisory committee being the 200-some businesses that meet with the 15 companies, that 10 of which then go on to go to the NAC meeting. But I think even for the U.S. component subgroups, there just are not sufficient allegations here, and I don't think there could be that's an established or utilized by the Department of Commerce. Utilized is something along the lines of strict management or control, established clearly did not select the members. They haven't alleged that we did select the members. So it's very similar to Bird versus EPA.
Well, the question would be utilized then with respect to subgroups if there are any such things. That would be the issue.
Right. And I think there's nothing in the complaint to suggest that there is any strict management or control of those entities. The meetings are scheduled. The secretariat's scheduled the meetings, set the agenda, you know, selected the members. And I think that this court could easily look at this complaint and find a failure to state a claim under the Federal Advisory Committee Act. There are no further questions. We would ask the district court be affirmed.
For reasons totally different from what the district court gave.
What did you say?
For reasons totally different from the ones the district court gave.
Affirm on any basis that this court sees.
I'd just like to briefly add that for whatever basis, please send it back down to the district court. Thank you very much.
Is she going to want this? Will she want them in there? I can just...